I know God to be a very present help in time of trouble. And we have nothing to fear. He's with us. No matter what kind of shifting, changing, alterating circumstances or situation in our lives, the Lord is there. Though the mountains be moved and cast into the sea, and the earth shake with a trembling thereof, sometimes we just need to simply be still and know that He is God. Amen. There is a river. Amen? We have nothing to fear, people. And we know that this earthly tabernacle is dissolved. We have a building, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Praise God for that assurance. I'm glad we know those things. Saved people know those things. They have that confidence and that assurance. The Holy Spirit has revealed those things to us. We know what the Scriptures say, and we know the Scriptures to be true because the Holy Spirit has revealed those things to us. We have that confidence. We have confidence. We have that confidence, I say, that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. We have that confidence. And so I'm thankful for that sweet assurance. And that's why we can sing that song, "It's Well With My Soul." I hope it's well with your soul today. I hope you know where you stand with the Lord. I hope that everybody here has been saved by the grace of God. I hope everybody here has repented as was taught in Sunday school. I hope that you know that you know that you know you're saved. If you don't, you need to get saved. You need to humble yourself in the sight of the Lord. One of the greatest invitations is found in the book of James, where James was actually talking to people who were attending church and maybe even on the church roll, but weren't saved. And he told them, he said, you need to draw nigh to God and He will draw nigh to you. Humble yourselves before the Lord. Weep and pray and call on the Lord. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Call on the Lord and be saved. And people need to do that. I still believe in people calling upon the Lord. I still believe in sinners praying. I still believe in sinners repenting and believing in the Lord Jesus Christ in order to be saved. And if you're here today and you've not done that, you need to do that. You need to call on the Lord. I want to encourage you, if you're lost and undone, to seek the Lord while He may be found. There's no greater place, no greater time than now. Here. Today is the day of salvation. Something on your heart before we reverence the Lord. I want to read one verse of Scripture while he's getting ready, which will be our text for the day. Found in the 11th chapter of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 11 and verse 10. I know that I've spent already probably an hour discussing this verse of Scripture on Wednesday night. I know that we've been in this chapter for several months, in the 11th chapter of Isaiah. But I still have a few things to say about what Christ did. I'm going to read that at this time. And it tells us that in that day there shall be a root of Jesse, which shall stand for an ensign of the people. To it shall the Gentiles seek, and his rest shall be glorious. Through the book of Isaiah foretells of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, tells of his humble beginnings, of him being born to Mary and Joseph, him being born in Bethlehem and raised in Nazareth, born to parents that were poor. His humble beginnings are described and depicted by the description of him being the root of Jesse. The 11th chapter also tells us of his ministry, of the Holy Spirit coming upon him like a dove at his baptism. The Heavenly Father speaking out of heaven and saying, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." It is telling us about the reading of the Scripture at Capernaum in the synagogue when he said that this day the anointing of the Holy Ghost being upon the Messiah is being fulfilled. It tells us of his ministry in Galilee, It tells us also of His abilities to bring about redemption. Him dying on the cross to secure our justification and our righteousness. Him resurrecting on the third day and coming forth victorious from the grave. His ascension to glory and being seated at the right hand of the Father, making intercessions for us. All that the Lord Jesus has done, all that the gospel declares, would bring about this transformation in people like us. It'd bring about a transformation in the Gentile world, where they would begin to seek the Lord, that they would allow the Lord to reign over their life and have domination over their affairs. It would bring about not only a reign, but a ruling over their lives. For if you read where Paul also quotes this very verse in the 15th chapter of the book of Romans, he quotes it from the Septuagint, which tells us that the Gentiles will allow the Lord Jesus Christ to reign and rule over their lives, and that they would trust in the Lord. There would be a transformation and a change through the ensign, through the cross. There are those of us here today, and we are united behind the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm a follower of the Lord Jesus. He owns me. I am His, and He is mine. I have nothing of my own. It's all His. My life is His. The world is still unable to understand and comprehend how that the church of the Lord Jesus Christ has fallen in behind this Jew, have fallen in behind this one who was raised in Nazareth, Jesus Christ of Nazareth. They still don't understand how and why we would lay down our lives for the Lord Jesus Christ. But it's because of the cross. It's because of the assigna. It's because of the redemption that took place in our hearts and in our lives. And this cross still stands as a flag, as a token, as a symbol, where that we rally behind those things that the Lord Jesus Christ has taught. You know, we live in some difficult times. The truth has become a subject that people don't like to talk about. The truth has become a touchy subject. But not only do we rally behind the way of redemption, there's not only doctrinal things that we uphold and we follow. We follow the teaching of the Lord Jesus. Amen? What Jesus has said, we believe, and we as a church, we need to be upholding it. Paul wrote to young minister Timothy and said, the church is the pillar and the ground of the truth. The church ought to be upholding the truth. We have a lot of compromise today. I believe we need to be Christ-centered and Christ-focused. And the way we're Christ-centered is by centering our teaching upon the doctrines that are found in the Bible. We must be a doctrinal people. Amen? The world has forsaken doctrine. I wrote this down. Brother Max said this, and this is a quote from him this morning in Sunday school. He said, in the assembly that removes itself from the authority of Scripture, ceases to be a church of the New Testament. Amen? That's the truth. He went on and said a few things, and I didn't get it exactly, but I put it like this. When they no longer seek the union of the Lord Jesus Christ, but prefer the thrill and satisfaction of the flesh, they become a worldly church and not a heavenly church. I want to go to church and sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Amen? And in order for us as a church to do that, we must uphold the teachings of the Bible. We must uphold the teachings of Scripture. I said earlier in Isaiah chapter 59 and verse 14, where it talks about how that truth and judgment and those things that are just have fallen down in the street, that people no longer are able to make decisions. They're not able to pass judgment. He said judgment is turned away backwards. We're living in that day. People can't discern between what's right and what's wrong. We've got a serious problem. They don't know what godliness is. They don't know what wickedness is. Listen, we need to understand righteousness and godliness. We not only need doctrinal issues being advocated at our church, but we need practical issues and spiritual issues. We need to be following the fruit of the Holy Spirit, which involves righteousness and godliness. Amen. We need to get back to the basics. This insignia that the Lord Jesus Christ would establish. The Gentiles,
In other words, people of all nations would rally behind it. The church becomes a mighty army when it rallies behind the bloodstained banner of the Lord Jesus Christ. A mighty army. And we need to start elevating that banner. In Psalm 60:4, it says, "Thou hast given a banner to them that fear thee, that it may be displayed because of the truth." Listen, we don't need to change our doctrines. We need to be Baptists from the top of our head to the bottom of our feet. Now, a lot of Baptist churches have forsaken a lot of doctrinal things. We still believe that blood is required before the water. You have to be able to give a time and a place of being saved. We still teach repentance and remission of sin. What did Jesus commission the church to do in the 24th chapter of the book of Luke? As he commissioned her, he said, "You go to the whole world and you preach repentance and the remission of sins." We need repentance preached in our churches. We don't believe that people just give their hearts to the Lord. We don't believe that people just repeat some prayer. We don't believe that somebody just stands up and has their eyes closed, their head bowed. We say you must repent. Jesus said in the 13th chapter of Luke, "Except you repent, you'll perish." And there's a lot of people that have walked the aisle, signed a card. Listen, the Bible teaches that salvation is more than signing a card. We don't believe in a pencil card salvation. We believe you must be born again. And once you've been born again of the Spirit of God, once you've repented of your sins and you put faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and listen, there's a lot of churches, they're not preaching repentance. They are not preaching salvation. People, we're living in the last days. And we need to take courage. We need to still be centered and united in the teaching of the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, Victory, this is not your church. It's the Lord's church. I don't care how long you've been a member. You don't have squatter's rights. Listen, this is the Lord's church. And it's made up of baptized believers. And yes, I still believe you need to be baptized with the right authority. It must be baptism performed by the authority of a sound church. You must have also immersion in water by the right, not only the right authority, but the right administrators. We have a lot of issues that are haunting the church. And we need to... Listen, the Bible says in Isaiah 59:19, "When the enemy shall come in like a flood, that the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against them." I don't care what the world does. I don't care what other churches do. I'm going to lift up the standard of the Lord Jesus Christ, because one of these days, they're going to face Him in judgment. He's coming in power and great glory. Yes, I am a Bible thumping, Bible-believing Baptist from the top of my head to the bottom of my feet. And I believe that the Bible is the supremacy and the sufficiency and the excellence of truth. And it has absolute rule and control over me and the church of the true and living God. Listen, you come to me and you say, "Well, I feel this way about it." You might find me saying, "Find it in the Bible for me." Right. Yeah, yeah. I have and hold to a rigid adherence to the principles that are found in the Bible. And the true church of the living God does too. We believe in the sufficiency and the supremacy of the Scriptures. It has authority. Listen to me. It has authority over my life. It has authority over your life. It has the authority over the church. And as far as I'm concerned, it has authority over this world. Amen. Yes, we believe salvation is wholly of grace. We need to hold to these principles. But I want my grandkids growing up in a church where they hear truth. That's more important to me than programs. I want them raised in a church where they feel and experience and from some time to time sense the power of God among the people of God. Because just like JT said this morning,
The Holy Spirit's still with His church. We need to contend and continue to set forth to the world, whether they like it or not, experimental knowledge. You need to know in your heart that you passed from death unto life. Being a church member is not good enough. Being raised up in church isn't good enough. You must experience salvation. You need a Holy Ghost experience that comes from on high, that imparts unto you the knowledge that you have passed from death unto life. Let's continue to stand on a regenerated membership. Now, they must be saved first before they can be a member of the Lord's church. And let me recommend something. Now, there are times when people have come to me and they have told me their experience. It was a good experience. And when they came before the church and they were going to give it to the church, they kind of froze up and I kind of worked through them. But listen, I'll just be honest with you. If I don't think a person has a testimony of passing from death into life, I'm not going to baptize them. I don't care how many times you vote. I have a duty and an obligation as an elder. I believe in a visible local body of believers. Sure do. I don't believe in this invisible church theory stuff. I believe the church is a local, independent, visible body with Jesus Christ as the head. I only believe in two ordinances. Baptism, which you must partake of first, and the second one, the Lord's Supper. Now, we're going to be observing the Lord's Supper tonight, and I believe it's not offered to the world. I believe it's offered to the church. And I've made some people angry from time to time talking about this. I believe a person that partakes of the Lord's Supper must first know that they're saved and must know that they're a member of the true church of the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe in the two ordinances, and I also believe in the two offices. I believe that there are two offices in the church. I know we've got a lot of elected offices and committees and etc., but when it comes to officers in the church, the Bible only teaches two. Pastor, bishop, elder, whatever you want to call him, they're all the same thing, and deacon. And I believe the qualifications that are inscribed in the book of Timothy and the book of Titus come down from the Lord Jesus Christ, and the deacons and the preachers, the pastors, that is, the ordained ministers, they must meet all those qualifications. Everything in regard to the pastor and everything in regard to the deacon and their families. You know, one of the requirements of a deacon is that his wife be not something. Let me suggest something to you, Victory Church. You ever get ready to ordain a deacon? If that ever comes, you better examine those qualifications thoroughly. And that not only the man, but also his family meet those qualifications before you have the elders lay hands on him. We live in a day where people say, well, it doesn't matter whether he's male or female. Yes, it does. We don't ordain women to preach. We don't believe women are called to preach. And we do not ordain women deacons. It's very clear in Titus and Timothy that it's to be a male. Female doesn't meet those qualifications. I still believe in the Trinity. I believe in the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. I'll say this. If you haven't had interaction in your Christian walk with all three, then you probably haven't been saved. I mean, they're all one, but at the same time, you know what I'm talking about. There's been times I've cried out to the Father and pleaded the blood, amen, and felt the Holy Spirit. Y'all know what I'm talking about? I mean, they all three work together in unison in the work of the of not only redeeming us, but also in preserving us in the Christian walk. I believe in God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. I believe in the Trinity, the deity of Christ. I believe in eternal security. I believe God created this world in 6 days, and I still believe He rested on the seventh.
He hallowed it. That means one day out of the week is hallowed unto the Lord. Now, you may differ with me. You go right ahead, but you're going to have to take it up with the Word of God. You know, anytime I preach on a Christian Sabbath, I always have somebody come up and... Now, I realize there are exceptions. We've got to have medical, and we've got to have doctors and nurses and hospitals running and firemen and policemen and that kind of thing. I realize there are some exceptions, but there are some times where these individuals have not recognized the Christian Sabbath, and they have asked for additional overtime so they could work on Sunday. And I think that's wrong. You need to be trying to get off. We still believe in the resurrection of the dead. We believe there's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. I believe in a real, literal, burning fire, a place of torment called hell, where the worm dies not and the fire is unquenched. Well, these are just some of the doctrinal issues. I could go on and on and on with the doctrinal issues. But I rally around the doctrines of the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe the church today is contending with those. We need to contend for the faith that was once delivered to the saints, right? We got to contend for that. I don't know if you realize, but a lot of these doctrines are in jeopardy. They're going by the wayside. People are making alternate doctrines and decisions on how their church functions and runs and what they believe and what they practice. And listen, this is not for discussion. You can have your opinion, but you don't have a right to your facts. These are the facts. This is what the Bible teaches. We have to hold to these truths as a church. Jesus expects us to do that, and I believe the true church will. We have a lot of social issues the church is contending with today, and I want to hurry through this just to one or two more points. Not only doctrinal, but some social issues. We still believe in the divine institution of family. I believe God made them male and female in the beginning. Amen. I believe God joined them together, and what God has joined together, let no man put asunder. It hasn't changed from the very beginning. The psalmist said that God has set the solitaire in the family, and I believe it's in the family even to this day. I am for equal rights, but I am not for equal roles. God made them male and female. And they have different and distinct roles according to the Scriptures. There are roles required for the male, and there's roles required for the female. And this is where it's very beneficial and very important for the older generation to teach the younger generation the female roles and the male roles. And I just want to say this, God will only recognize, and the church will only recognize, a marriage between a male and a female. Amen. We're not backing down on this. Amen. And if somebody joins this membership and they haven't complied with this, we will exclude them. We won't let them join. Amen. It's not happening. Not at this church. Not as long as I have breath in this body. And I believe you're on the same page with me. Man, same-sex marriage is just a slap in the face to God. It's unnatural. It's against nature. It's a perversion, and it's sick. And as far as I'm concerned, I stand with the Apostle Paul, what he said in Romans chapter 1 and verse 32, such things are worthy of death. God hasn't changed this position. Listen, we've got to keep standing up for what's right. The world is not going to stand up for the family. The church needs to do that. The church needs to stand up for the home and the dignity of the mothers and the dignity of the female gender and the dignity of the male gender. We need to stand up for what's right. Honor the Bible and the teachings of Scripture. If there's ever been a time we need to keep standing for the sanctity of life, it's now. I'm going to say it again. The Bible makes no distinction between prenatal and postnatal life. You know, the most terrible place and most horrible place in America is in a mother's womb.
Have you guys been staying up with this court case in Philadelphia? Isn't that awful? This doctor that botched these abortions and accused of killing not only his patient, but several babies. Look, this is not hard. The Bible makes it real clear. All you got to do is read what the Scriptures say. The Scriptures tell us that life begins at conception. We can go to Psalms 139, verse 13, where he said, "You formed my innermost being." You know, these three, have you seen any of these 3D ultrasounds? My goodness. If you can look at one of those and not believe there's life there, then you must be totally stupid. But whether you see it or not, the Bible says this: if any man strive and hurt a woman with child so that her fruit depart from her, he goes on and says, if any mischief follows, then thou shalt give life for life. In other words, if a baby in a mother's womb is hurt by somebody else, and there's death that occurs because of mishap or misfortune, and that baby is aborted, the person who caused that injury, God says his life is to be taken for that life that was taken in the mother's womb. That's what God said. Man, I mean, that's plain, isn't it? God made it real clear how he feels about this. We know that. But let's keep standing up for that. Let's stand up for what this covenant teaches. I was part of the committee that helped revamp that. And that's part of it. I think we need to take care of our older people, our elderly people. I believe when it says honor your father and mother, it means you honor them for the rest of your life. Not just till you become a teenager. That's not the commandment. No, the commandment is to honor them for the rest of your life. We're in a spiritual and a cultural warfare. And that warfare is raging. It's raging against the home. It's raging against the family. It's raging against the elderly. People today just don't want to be put out. Come on. But the church stands on the principles of God's holy word. We take care of those things that the Bible says that we need to take care of. Satan's been trying for a long time to legalize sin. He's been trying to socialize the sinner. Oh, that's not sin. You just have a disease. No, that's sin. Oh, you were just born that way. No, that's sin. He's optimized sin. He's tried to sterilize the family. And he has caused many saints to become loose in their positions. We've had a moral meltdown in this country. Truth definitely has fallen in the streets. And we need to pick it back up. I pray that God will give us the strength to stand for the truth when the truth is not popular. I pray that God will give the church the strength to stand for the truth when people don't like to hear the truth. Listen, we need to stand up for what's right. Church is a little afraid of standing up for the truth sometimes, especially when there's persecution involved. But that's just the point. The amazing thing was that all of this Gentile world, they got saved, they rallied around the Lord Jesus Christ, they stood for the truth, even if it cost them their lives. In the book of Revelation, it says they loved not their lives even unto death. I'm part of that group. Let's follow the Lord Jesus Christ, they're standing up for the truth, even if it means my life. I can think of no greater privilege than to die for the Lord Jesus Christ. I can think of no greater legacy to leave for my grandkids than in them to know that their grandfather died for the Lord. Not just died in the Lord, but died for the Lord. I would count that an honor and a great privilege to leave such a legacy behind. That day may come, people.
Are you ready for it? That day may come. I'm going to keep trusting in Him who died on the cross for me. And they can make fun. They can write letters. They can leave me scathing emails. They can leave nasty stuff on my website. They can call my house. But they don't scare me a bit. I'll tell you what scares me is the Lord. I fear God more than I fear man. I fear Him more than I fear man. And we ought to obey God rather than man. So let it come. Let come what may. We're going to be people of principle, people of doctrine, people that stand for the family. We have a cultural warfare that's going on. The world is overriding our church. And the Bible says, love not the world, neither the things in the world. If you love the world, the love of the Father is not in you. That's what it says. We have more Christians that are worldlings than ever before. Ever before. Somebody was talking to me about something, and I don't know, it was some argument that has been argued for the last 500 years. And I said, you know what? I've got more important things to worry about and spend my time on. I got a church that needs to be shepherded, and I need. We've got people that need to get right with the Lord. People that are backslidden that need to get right with the Lord. I got more to be concerned about than these petty issues. There are main issues. We need a major on the major and minor on the minor. And we may have a few little distinctions and differences, but usually they are so small and so minute they don't mean anything. But the important issues we're together on. Amen? The main issues of life we're together on. And I believe we need to stand united for the Lord Jesus. Oh yeah. They would rally around the ensign, the flag, the banner of truth. They'll look at that truth and they will have no fear. They'll take courage in it. Take courage in it. Just like a soldier takes courage in seeing the American flag raised. The honor in it, the integrity in it. There's integrity and there's honor in following the Lord Jesus. Let's stay in step with Him. May the Lord bless us till He comes. Amen. He's coming back. I want faith to be here. That requires us being sound in doctrine and in practice. Amen? Amen. To stand for the truth. If it hair lips every cow in Texas, like B.D. Carter used to say. Amen? Stand for the truth no matter what. I appreciate you listening to me. I love the Lord. Do you love the Lord? Oh, the warfare is so great, so intense. I see all these little kids, and you know, a lot of people think, well, maybe we need to just ease up a little bit. No, we need to hunker down. Maybe we need to just, you know, lighten up on some of these issues. No, we need to adhere more rigidly to what the Word of God says. Yeah. Not get weaker, get stronger. And these kids will know the difference. You know how they'll know the difference? They'll know the difference the way I knew the difference when I was a little kid. Church I grew up in, there were many times that the Lord would show up. Amen? And I knew the Lord was there, and I wasn't even saved. But I knew the Lord was there. And the main thing we ought to be concerned about is offending Jesus. Because I tell you what, when He has something against one of His churches, He will visit that church and tell them they either make it right or He's leaving. That's what He says. Just look at the seven churches of Asia. I have somewhat against you. You get this made right. You can't have something. The Lord can't have something against us and we keep doing the thing that's wrong. We've got to make it right. Amen? There's times when we as a church, we need to repent. A past. Try to make things right. Do the right thing. That's godliness. That's righteousness. That's Christian living. But the Lord would show up. And, you know, these kids may not be in a church that has a lot of programs. But they're in a church where there's power. And they'll, from time to time, they'll see the people of God come in the altar and get on their face and pray. And God will hear and answer and bring a miracle among us. And heal somebody. Or help somebody. Save somebody. Amen. And they'll look at that and they'll say, wow, that was God. We've yet to glory till God shows up. We depend upon Him for it all. Let's rally around Him, and may He get all the glory and all the praise. Something on your heart today. God bless you. Thank you for listening to me. I want us to close with an altar prayer. And I want us to pray that our kids and grandkids and all the kids, even the visitors. I want visitors coming around into our church, and you know, I want them to be wowed by the Lord. They're not going to be wowed by me. They're not going to be wowed by our singing. They're going to be wowed by the Lord. I want them to come in and say, there's something there. There's something in that church that's of God. I want them to know the Lord is here. And so let's come in and let's pray that they'll be able to identify a group that's rallying around the Lord and being blessed with the power of the Lord in what they do. Let's come to the altar and close this service with a prayer.